Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pierre Maguire, NHL on NBC, their in-glass reporter, joins us again. Pierre, thanks for hopping on again with us. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent, Tiki. Nice to visit with you.
Oh, it is my pleasure, because you can give me some intel on what the heck, what in the world the Post-Dispatch was thinking by letting leak a bunch of messages that did nothing in Blues fans' minds but jinx them. Jinx them, right? Hey, this is congratulations, you know, in preparation of the outcome. I mean, all of us were here to remember when and how we felt when the Blues brought the cup home. What in the world were they thinking?
That's called quality control, and it's a problem. You know what? Bill Parcells would never have allowed that with the New York Giants. Bill Belichick would never allow it with the New England Patriots, and I'll take it a step further. We kind of went through something like this in 91 when we won in Pittsburgh in the Eastern Conference Final. We beat the Boston Bruins, and we were all in the coach's office. I was one of the guys in there, and I remember one of the hierarchies of the organization wanted to pop champagne, and the great Scotty Bowman, the winningest coach of all time in the NHL, said, "What are you doing?
Yeah.
Don't celebrate winning Eastern Conference titles. We celebrate winning Stanley Cups."
Yeah.
And it's not allowed to be popped. It's almost in the same vein. Why that would be done by people in St. Louis that really have never been part of anything like this. They didn't think they were doing anything wrong. Unfortunately, they didn't have the quality control to stop it, and it never should have got out.
Yeah, no, it is unfortunate, but it is for us that are, you know, aren't Blues fans or following hockey too closely. It's a great thing to dive into and say, "See, you jinxed yourself." There you go. But you know, let's talk about the Blues, in particular their coach Craig Berube, who back in Game 3. Yeah, it was Game 3. It was like 15 or like maybe it was even more penalties called. And he complained about it, right? He's like, "Hey, you let him play." And obviously we know what happened. A couple games later, you get the tripping call that was not called, and they find a way to win that. You know, how much impact has the referees letting things play, because the penalties have gone significantly down over the last three games. How much does that come into play in St. Louis's run towards almost getting the Stanley Cup?
Well, it's not just St. Louis. This has been going on for years in the National Hockey League, where coaches try to intimidate the officials. You know, you're always looking for the next call. You know, you're trying to get under the referee's skin a little bit and get them to feel sorry for you, or say, "You know what, I fouled that one up, but I'm going to give you a break the next time." So it's been going on for a long time in our league. It's human nature. You're always challenging people. That's the nature of pro sports, is the challenge. I don't think that really played a role in that. I just think the official missed it. It has not been a great year in the playoffs for the officials this year. But one of the things I'm going to say in defense of the officials, Tiki, this game has never been played faster. This is my 31st year in pro hockey.
Yeah.
I've been at it a long time. I've never seen it faster, ever. And it's a really hard game to call. You may think you see it one way, and then you see it in super slow motion on TV, and you say, "Oh, man, that wasn't like that at all." And so it just shows you that your eyes can play tricks on you. And I think we have to – there's got to be some rejigging of the refereeing system in our league. And I do think the competition committee is going to pay attention to that. And I do think we'll see some subtle changes that will probably enhance the referee's abilities to make some calls.
Pierre Maguire, NHL on NBC, in glass reporters, joining us here on Tiki and Tierney. Now, Bruce Cassidy said this is a black eye. I mean, is it? You talk about
that. Wasn't good. Was not good.
I mean, how do you fix it, Pierre? I mean, there's not enough space to put another ref. You know what I mean? So,
no.
Like, what do you do?
Here's my idea, Tiki. I proposed this a long time ago when I was actually coaching in the league. Rather than having two on-ice referees, you have one referee who's upstairs sitting in the press box. That creates more room on the ice. The linesmen call the lines and icing and break up fights if they have them, and control the things away, the ancillary things. The referee on the ice has direct contact with the referee upstairs through an earpiece, an IFB. And that way they can communicate, and you basically have the on-ice official making a lot of decisions. But if things happen behind his back that he doesn't see, the man upstairs, the eye in the sky, can call down. once players know that that can actually happen, you don't think they'll be on their best behavior?
Oh, yeah, you
not
have to
get
be.
Away with much. And not only that, but then you can have instantaneous reviews right upstairs with a certified official. And here's the last thing why I think that's a good idea. Guys' careers will be prolonged. Referees' careers will be prolonged because right now you got them down there and they're getting mutilated because of how fast the game is.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, even if a referee's injured, he can still work a game.
Yeah.
He can be upstairs.
Oh, that's interesting. You don't think about it that way, but it makes a perfect sense. And we'll be sure to, you heard it here first on Tierney, when they institute this, Pierre. I mean, it makes sense because hockey is one of those sports. It's not like in the NFL where, you know, the sideline can give you some relief from the action. You know what I mean? If you're a referee and you got to chase a guy down the field, you can kind of just run on the side. You can't do that in hockey. You're in the middle of the action, no matter where you are.
You just said something that's so good, and just from you, obviously your experience as a running back of football, but there's out of bounds in football. There's no out of bounds
that's
in hockey.
Great.
You run into a wall.
That's right.
You know, and you got guys carrying weapons and going at 35 miles an hour, and they can shoot the puck at over 100 miles an hour. So if you have no out of bounds and nowhere to hide, it can be an intimidating place to work and to play.
Yeah. Do you think Sam, my producer, brought this up, and it's an astute point. You talk about how fast hockey has become, and you see it in all sports because guys are just getting bigger and stronger and faster, etc. But in hockey, it's particularly that way because you're on skates and on ice. Are refs making more mistakes later in games because they're just tired?
I think the answer is yes. I think if you look at, for instance, I did a game in the playoffs between San Jose and St. Louis. It was game 3, the dreaded hand pass that led to an overtime winning goal for San Jose. And everybody in the rink saw it except for the officials, but it's in double overtime. So the fatigue factor is clearly there. The other night in the third period, the official that missed the call, that's late in the third period of the game. So there's a fatigue factor, and he's been working since April the 6th, I think, is when the playoffs started. So any of the officials that got this deep, they've been working a lot, and they've had a lot of time zone travel. So the answer is yes. I think that's a really valid point, really valid.
Pierre McGuire from NBC, NHL on NBC, the Inglass reporter, joins us here. We're breaking down this. Now, Game 7, it's awesome. It's what you want in all sports, particularly in hockey. The Bruins have the advantage because they're home, which takes me to the St. Louis Blues, who are I'll say, depressing 6-7 at home. And obviously, Game 6 was at home for them last night when they lost in bad fashion. But, I mean, how do you explain that? Because it should be the opposite, shouldn't it?
Yeah, the one thing about hockey, though, I would say, to be fair, home ice advantage doesn't count as much as when I was involved in it as a coach or as a player, Tiki, because in those days we had the Chicago Stadium where the ice surface was a little bit different, the Odd in Buffalo where the ice surface was a little different, the Colisée in Quebec City where the ice was a little different, the old Boston Garden. So every rink kind of had its own identity, Tiki.
Yeah.
Sometimes the glass was high, sometimes the glass was low. But now everything's standardized in the league. Every rink is 200 by 85, so they're all cookie cutter.
Yeah.
So you basically and you know what it's like. You've played football in front of 100,000 people. Everybody thinks the crowd noise is intimidating. It might be at the start, but then it goes away.
Yeah, you're right. That's
it
right.
It dissipates. So, I mean, for fans, I get it. If you've never had that experience, it's a surreal experience. But that stuff dissipates. It goes away, and then it's just a game. So that's one of the reasons why I don't think we see these teams being intimidated about going on the road because all the rinks are the same. Back when I was doing it, it was intimidating to go into some of those buildings. To go into the Spectrum in Philadelphia, that was a nasty place to go.
Yeah.
It was a scary place to go.
No, I believe it. Everything in Philadelphia was scary. The vet was scary back in the
well,
day.
Yeah, you would know.
Trust me.
You were part of some of the good.
Yeah, trust me. I know. hey, kids and, you know, wife, you're not coming to that game. Trust me.
Right.
Pierre, it's a good thing also for the Blues, by the way. They're 9-3 on the road, so it's not really that much of a disadvantage for them. Tuukka Rask was out of his mind yesterday. The save behind the back. I mean, like, how the heck do you even stick your hand behind your back when you got all the equipment on? But other than the goalies, and you can comment on Rask if you want to, but other than the goalies, what's going to be the difference for either one of these teams for Game 7?
Well, I think if St. Louis is going to win, one of the things they're going to be able to establish early is they're going to get their defense involved in the offense. And if they're doing that, that means they're not spending a lot of time defending. They're spending more time attacking. So that's one of the real identities of their team is getting offense from their defense. If you see that from St. Louis, that means they're on their game.
Yep.
Boston, Tiki, I really believe if you see them aggressive on the forecheck, if you see them spending a lot of time in the St. Louis zone, if you see them having no problem breaking the puck out of their own zone, St. Louis is going to be in a world of hurt. They're going to be in big trouble.
Interesting. The Boston Bruins have 6 championships. The St. Louis Blues obviously have 0. Experience plays a huge factor here? That's a question.
I think it plays a little bit of a factor, and I'll tell you why, Tiki. This was something that really impressed me by the Bruins management. They have 5 players left from their last championship team in 2011. And what they did was they brought pictures of all 5 of those players and hung them in different parts of their dressing room on the road.
That's cool.
So the players that have never won can see guys they are actually playing with having won, and they can tell stories about it or they can ask questions about it. And it's been this galvanizing thing for their group, Tiki. I'm telling you, it's really been a smart thing that Bruce Cassidy and his coaching staff and Donnie Sweeney and Cam Neely, the president and the GM, what they've done with the team. By doing that, I think it's really brought the guys together. And you can see the young players for the Bruins are not nearly as intimidated by the moment because they have that experience to draw from.
Well, Pierre, I appreciate you hopping on with us again, as always. Game 7 is on NBC on Wednesday. We'll be tuning in. It's nothing like a Game 7 in hockey. I appreciate you, Pierre.
Anytime, Tiki. It's been my pleasure. And your brother, Rondé, always gets Kenny Albert and I a good restaurant to eat in Tampa, so I'm grateful for that.
Of course. Kenny's the man. Kenny will be on the call, by the way, if you're listening on the radio on Westwood One. So that's the tie-in as well. Take care, Pierre. We'll talk soon.
Great visiting you, Tiki. Take care. Enjoy Game 7, everybody.
Most certainly.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.